Continuing further, the identified needs and the analysis provide a basis for preparing the objectives. A decision is required to be made on the learning objectives to match job performance, job conditions, and job standards. Whatever gap we have seen, from there we proceed and we are into this particular step number one of identifying the training objectives. A decision has to be taken to see that the learning objectives match the job performance, the job conditions, as well as the job standards. Objectives serve three main purposes. They state what has to be achieved by the end of the training. They provide sequence and order in which the training should take place. They give an indicator of what kind of strategy and tactic should be used. Strategy is what I'm planning as a long term. This is the flow I'm going to have. Tactic means in between I may have to make some minor changes. This is what the training objectives has to. It serves these three purposes. Further, setting objectives provide directions to the program, serves as a basis for evaluation, acts as a tool for meeting trainee needs, and defines limits of the program. It draws the program boundaries. You can't train infinitely on every part. So objective will tell you this is the boundary in which we need to train. Scope, that's what it defines. Objective should be set out from the learner's perspective. What does the learner actually have to achieve? That has to be the major point in considering what are the objectives to be set. Like a SMART goal, they should be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. So each of them has to be properly identified and frozen. The needs assessment data helps in deciding what type of knowledge, skills, and attitudes of the employees are lacking and what kind of learning interventions can meet the purpose of the training. Determining the learning needs of the participants will influence the development of learning objectives and guide the choice of activities and training strategies. So the learning needs have to be first understood, because the learning needs means it's coming from the participant. It's not being forced on him. So he or she feels the learning needs, then it becomes easier for you to create the objective. So that needs to be understood. The more a training designer knows about the participants, the greater the possibilities of designing an excellent program. This is very, very obvious and very clear. Clearly defined goals and objectives provide criteria for clarifying expected outcomes, outlining training content, planning specific training activities, designing evaluation procedures. A training goal should be broad enough, spelling out who will be affected and what will change as a result of the training. Very important. Objectives are more precise than goals, which specify the avenues or the openings for achieving the program goal. They are connected with each other, but objectives give you the clear-cut idea that this is what we need to do to achieve the goals. There is a certain flowchart which I would like to talk about now. See, we have the vision at the top. The vision leads to the mission. The mission leads to the strategy. The strategy leads to the objective and finally to the goal. So objectives actually give a direction to the goal, the avenue. Vision, mission, strategy, objective, and goal. They should state as specifically as possible that after the training, what result you are trying to achieve, including what will change, who will change, under what conditions, and to what extent. So all those need to be mapped. Training objectives are of great significance from a number of stakeholder perspective. One stakeholder, the first one, is the trainer. He plays a significant role in establishing relation between objectives and achievement of the goals. The trainee, the person who is attending the training program, the participant, what is expected of him? Making him know the content of the training to reduce his anxiety, increasing his focus at the same time, challenging and motivating through the various activities. Make him be a willing learner, in short. Give him all the support that he requires to go from one level to the higher level. Third is a designer. The designer can be the same person as the trainer in some cases. The designer has to do the structuring of the training based on the realistic conditions, keeping it flexible. The evaluator has to measure the progress of the trainees and also the trainer. Right? Now we go to the next point, determining the training content. After setting the training program objective, the training designer should prepare an action plan for meeting them. Now comes the steps. The major activities involved in the action plan are identifying the program contents and activities. What are the points to be covered in the syllabus, the key points, and how to cover each key point through activities. Dividing the program contents into subtopics, making them manageable so that there is clarity, otherwise there will be confusion. Separating the contents and the activities into knowledge, skills and attitude related. There are some activities which are knowledge based. I may show a case study that is knowledge based. I may tell them to do an activity, skill based. I may try to give an activity wherein the attitudes are coming out. In a team, for example, how many people are involved, how many people are not involved, how many people are laid back. All that is attitude related. So depending upon the content of what we need to do, and the activities that follow, we need to segregate them into three categories: knowledge base, skill base, and attitude base. Organizing the content sequentially, put everything in a sequential fashion so that you know what you're doing as a trainer and they also know what's coming their way. Make it clear to them at the beginning of the training program that this is a sequence which we are following. At the same time, tell them that there may be flexibility as and when the need arises. Right? Having identified the training objectives, the training manager should now identify the various topics to be covered in the training program that will best meet the objectives. The training manager has to cover the four basic aspects of design: the characteristics of the trainees, organizational purpose of training, nature of learning intended, and the resource requirements. Self-explanatory, the trainee is at the focus of it. The purpose for which the organization has sent him, what sort of a learning he needs to have, and what are the resources required, right? Normally, training programs are divided into three segments: an introduction, which creates a positive learning environment, icebreakers and interest stimulation, reducing anxiety and building up trust and comfort in the training room. Then comes the learning component, the actual learning, the body of the program. Concepts and ideas are addressed, attitudes are examined, resources are shared, teaching strategies and skills are demonstrated, practiced and discussed, total involvement of the participant. This is the program is taken off, it's going on, right? Then comes a wrap up. The program is taken up, people have learned, there were exercises, group activities, etc. A wrap up means we are wrapping up the whole program, we are ending it. The wrap up and the evaluation component, bridging the gap between the training and the implementation. A positive closure, highlighting key learnings, summarizing central concepts and themes, questions, answers and feedback. At this point, I would like to comment upon two words: feedback and evaluation. After the program is over, immediately we give them a feedback sheet to fill up and give it. That is a feedback as far as the training program is concerned. Evaluation is slightly different. Evaluation will be given to the trainer and to everybody after some time. It can be a month or two later, when the new behaviors are emerging, we'll come to know whether the training program has been effective or not. So don't confuse evaluation and feedback. Feedback is immediately after the event is over. Evaluation comes after the event's results are coming. These are two words where people confuse. They are asking for evaluation immediately after the training program, same day. You can't evaluate it. Evaluation is seen only through the results it produces or not produces, which takes time. Next comes selecting the training methods. Two methods are popular: on-the-job approaches like job instruction, job rotation, coaching, mentoring, etc. While you're working there itself, you have some internal people who take care of it. Job instruction is known to all of us. Training is again what we talk about. In-house training, we don't take them outside. Job rotation means within the same functional zone, within marketing, I'm rotating you from sales to service to back office, etc. Rotation. Don't confuse job rotation with career rotation. You go from marketing to finance, it is not job rotation. Many people confuse that. Job rotation is within the department, you're going through various functions so that you become a overall person, you know all the functions of the department, and you become a you know exactly what the whole departmental sections start working in. Job rotation is given to people who are being earmarked for career growth in the company. Because if you're a finance person, if you know all the parts of finance through job rotation, only then you can take up higher functions. Okay? Now, off the job approaches like classroom training, seminars, workshops outside the job area, in a seminar hall, in a 5-star hotel, whatever. The other types of classification include individual focus interventions, one-on-one coaching, mentoring, which I do with some managers of some companies, one-on-one interventions, wherein they have some issues they would like to discuss one-on-one, and those issues need not have a group. So that is one thing which we do, individual focus interventions. Then group focus intervention. The group itself has got something to ask or share for which they want solutions. So it could be a lecture, seminar, conference. Even there we can have a coaching session with a group. Trainer control programs like a lecture and a job instruction training. This is very rarely done today. Nothing is trainer controlled today, because trainer control means the trainer comes with a paradigm, with the assumption that he knows the best and what he's giving is the correct thing. This is very rare. This used to be done long back. Today it is more of a facilitation, wherein both the parties, the company and the trainer, both are coming together and they do things. So there, a lecture and a job instruction is not enough. We need to do more than that. Trainee control programs like human process labs. Trainee control program means what? The trainee or the participant is a focus. He is made to do certain things. A human process lab, he will actually be his natural self. Conditions are created where he is a natural self, and we observe his pattern of behavior, the way he responds. From there we draw out his value system, his attitudes, his inner urges, etc. We come to know through activities and through certain interactions in groups. There is a trainee control programs, wherein the facilitator or the trainer hardly talks. He only gives them a exercise to do, then he observes and he notes down, he calibrates, then he gives a feedback, right? The fifth one is the time bound program like classroom and on the job instruction. Some where there's a time, only this particular moment I'll give you this. 1 to 2 or 1 to 3, there is a certain program training I'm going to give you, that's it. Based on a time, because that particular content may require that much time only, it may not need more. Usually time bound programs are not for human intervention, it is more for a training, for a content. Suppose you're learning a new, say, software program, a new program has got launched, a new package has come, and the software engineers have to learn that. So they may put a 2-hour session in the training room and things are given to them. Anything human based cannot be time bound and produce results. If you make it time bound, then the results may not come. So non-human based program, wherein the human behavior is not addressed, for them the time bound programs are okay. Self-pacing programs, self-study, internet-based training. So a certain topic is given to somebody, then he or she will say that I'm going to study, I'm going to learn, I'm going to get back to you, I'm going to take advice from you. So the person is self-driven to do it. This happens at a level of a person who's really self-responsible, who knows what he or she wants to do. Seventh one is training participants together, programs like training in the real classroom. So that's a typical training which happens in most of the scenarios. The training participants distributed like video conferencing and conference calls. So they are all in different geographical locations, and we have video call, like what we are doing today in COVID, Zoom sessions, right? Next comes identifying learning activities and developing lesson plan. Lesson plan is a blueprint or the starting point of each session of the training, which specifies objectives of the learning, the date and the time, topics to be covered, the sequence of the topics, resource persons who need to take the whole initiative ahead, the learning activities involved, the materials and the equipment required, the media to be used, the method of instruction, and any other relevant information. So the lesson plan is a blueprint of all these things that you need to have. Okay. Some basic rules for developing a lesson plan: proper sequencing of learning, challenging or difficult topics to be delivered when the class is in resourceful state, mostly the morning session. Need not be morning. I don't agree to this all the time. There are times when in the morning they are still yet to come to the reality of a training program. They sometimes take some time to develop a trust in the training program. It can be any time. But this is the role of the trainer to calibrate. He must be able to sensitively know when these people are ready. That is the time you start delivering them challenging and difficult topics or some cases or whatever. Schedule activities when the class is in resourceful state, preferably post-lunch. Now, after lunch, usually, like I told you in earlier chapter, people get a little bit down and lax. That's the time you can actually pump them up into resourceful state, keep them motivated. Preparing an instructor guide or a booklet or a manual with the detailed inputs. Now, on this, I have got two views. One view is instructor guide or a booklet, which shows a flow, is perfectly okay. But there are times when the training has to be flexible, it is not put in the guide. Some people will come and take an objection. Hey, this is not there in the guide. How can you do it? So I would rather say that give them a broad guideline rather than give them a rigid booklet. Right? Defining evaluation criteria. Training design is incomplete if it does not contain evaluation criteria. There has to be some means of evaluating it. The changes that has happened, the attitude that have changed, the number of people with whom this fellow is no more in conflict. These are certain observable things. The objectives of the evaluation are to see how far the training program was effective enough in meeting the training objectives. There are several aspects like training objective, learning, the nature of learning intended, the purpose for which the evaluation data is going to be used, which are to be taken into account while determining the training evaluation criteria. The next point is specifying follow-up actions. It's very important. Many companies do not have the time, luxury, or the inclination to have follow-up. They always say 2 days of training is okay. You can take them outbound, spend 24 hours with them for 2 days per day. So 48 hours you are with them. So the training will soak into them. So follow-up ke liye, we do not have time, nor the money, nor the other resources. But suffice it to say, I'm not talking like a trainer, but as a person who's observing human behavior, a follow-up is very, 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 very important. What's a follow-up session? It happens after the training is over, weeks later, months later, so that we want to be ensured that the behavior has actually changed and the new habits have come in, new behavior has come in line with the company's requirements. So no training program is ever fully effective when conducted as an event. If a two-day program is conducted as an event, it will not have the effect, since it is involving behavioral change, hence the need for follow-up sessions. The follow-up session comprises activities based on the learning and in the training and its application in the workplace. Follow-up session is also termed as a hand-holding session. During the follow-up periods, it is the role of the trainer to be available for constant communication. The people with whom I've been doing training, the follow-ups are still going on in some cases, so they are in touch with me. I'm always available for them. Somebody may want to do something which I've told them to do, but they're getting stuck up. There's a block, so they can call me, ask me, how do I proceed? So I show them some pathway. So it's like a one-on-one. At the same time, the group is involved in that. My perspective as a concluding part of the chapter. Designing training programs by the trainer is more an art than a skill, than a science. I design a training program using all the scientific principles, with each of them having a proper solid theory behind it. At the same time, looking at the customer, looking at the company for whom I'm training, and the pattern of the participants, the people who are attending, I've got to make it in such a way that there is a skillful, very artistic way of flexibility. So there are activities, there are exercises which will be written there, but I may change them. And that skillfulness and that alertness should be there when the training is going on. Right? The approach to design a training program involves a detailed interaction, not with just the HR people, but the stakeholders involved. So what I do normally, I tell the company if they want a training program to start, let us say on Monday and Tuesday, 2 days of training program. So I tell them, can we meet on Sunday evening or any other day in an evening as an informal session in with the participants who are coming for the training program? I meet them. It's like a KYC, know your customer. So when I meet them, you know, we have a very informal high tea or something. So I get to know who is attending. So they get to know me. So there's a little bit of an icebreaking that happens that evening itself, a day before the training program. So next day morning when they come, they already know that this person, they know me, quite familiar. So on the day of the training program, you know, we take off and we are able to get a lot of time for doing many activities. I practice this in many companies. It works very well, right? There are occasions when the participants' needs, individual and roles, need not be clear to the participant himself. This needs immediate attention before designing the training module. I face this very often. The participant is given a certain role with a certain designation, but he feels that he is doing an activity which is not in line with that role and the designation. Now, one of the key things I need to do is to make him understand that both the things are same. Assuming that the company wants it that way, first I have to calibrate that. A person is designated as a marketing executive. He's actually doing a lot of frontline sales job, and he knows that that is not marketing, that is selling. So he feels confused and he may ask me a question. He said, look, I'm doing sales. Why are they calling me marketing? I'm confused about the role. I actually want to do marketing. I want to be in the office and do marketing plans and stuff like that. The company tells me that he is a marketing executive. He's going through the sales role right now so that he becomes a better marketing person in the office at a later date. But I have to tell him as a trainer, through some activities, through some exercises, that unless you go through the sales function, you can't take up the marketing function in a very effective way. So this is where the clarifying his roles and needs and those other complexities which is boggling in his mind is one of the things which the trainer has to take into account, right? It's worth the while for the trainer to be in the touch with the departmental heads whose subordinates are slated to attend the training. Now, if I am being sent for a training program, my boss should be in touch with the trainer, or the trainer should be in touch with my boss, the person to whom I'm reporting. The reason is, he's a person who's seeing me on a day-to-day basis. He's a person who knows me, not somebody else, not the HR people who may not know me that well as a person with whom I'm working whole day. So when I talk, when the trainer is talking to the HOD or the supervisor of the participant, he gets more information about him, his pluses, minuses, idiosyncrasies, etc. And that is valuable information for him to prepare his delivery of the training module. While designing the training module, ideally, if individual profiles of the participants are available, it goes a long way in an effective design. I usually request, and I am very lucky to get it from many companies, I say, give me the list of the people, and could you tell me some individual profile of each of them? Who is of what nature? That is one part of it. Then further down, can I meet the supervisors? Can I meet their managers? And then when I meet them or talk to them on the phone or something, I come to know more about them besides the individual profile that they have given as a soft copy to me. So this goes a long way. So before the participants are actually starting the training, the trainer knows that this is the type of people who are coming in. I may not have a conclusive understanding about them, but I know some idea about what these people are. So different strokes for different folks. When the training is going on, I know that X needs this type of an attention, Y needs different type of an attention. It goes a long way. Right, friends? And there we are. Thank you very much. This module has come to an end. Wish you all the best.